Dungeons & Dragons will begin in just a moment. Really, it won't take long.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Aladdin, you are in this basement of the stable that you call home. You had heard voices, and there was the call, ka-ka, ka-ka, that told you that somebody was coming. All of the other kids at the stable had scattered, and you are inside this crate, have pulled the lid back on. As you hear the door to this storage room lift and heavy footsteps coming down the stairs. You don't really have great vision. You can see vaguely through the cracks, but not enough to really get an image, and it's also quite dark down there, so most things are shadowy. You see one looks like heavily armored male figure. And I say heavily armored because you can hear the sound of it as they are entering and moving into the center of the room. You hear up above the sound of a bit of an altercation, a scuffle. You don't hear calls or cries from any of the kids, but there is gruff voices going back and forth. This person who's come down these stairs stops in the center of the room and seems to be just slowly scanning the room, presumably trying to pick up on any sound or movement. What do you do?
Since we're half elves, we have some dark vision, right?
Yeah.
So Tally and I are in the same box because we are. She's smaller. We crouched in there, and I look at her and I put my finger to my lips and I mouth like, "Don't talk." And then she reaches over and she pinches her own lips shut like duck style.
The silence is deafening. And there's a few scuffling footsteps that you can hear from outside the box. And then a voice comes from this person. And it's a voice that you recognize. And it actually comes back to you in a flood and a quick relief moment, as it's the sound of Sergeant Dace. "Aladdin, you in here?" Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons, a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, he, him, and Dungeons & Dragons stars Amy Moore as Aladdin, she, her.
This side, push. 3, 2, 1.
Tom Laird as Kevlarin Goldweave, he, him.
Okay, what, when did the, what, why?
And Carla Maxted as Bonwyn Everbane, she, her.
I think they might actually just be like grouting with gold over there.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production that's supported by our patrons. Visit us today at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And now, it's adventure time, baby! Fuck it! Let's play!
I double look over at Tally, and I shake my head. I'm like, "No, quiet."
Tally's like bright-eyed, caught in surprise because you guys thought that it was Kinney's men. the ones who were there the day previous. And Tally's like shaking her head and shrugging, like trying to, and you make an insight roll to see what Tally's trying to tell you, because we're not going to talk.
No, we're not going to talk because I said shut it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to grab, this is random ass dice bag.
Perfect. Right.
First dice you pull, that's what you got to roll.
That's right. First dice.
Love it.
Best dice. Oh, well, it was a 3. Man, I was rolling like 14s last time. What's happened?
This is episode 4. Sorry. We're into it now.
Yeah. I can only pretend I'm good at this game for so long. I rolled a 3, so I'm like shrugging like, what? I'm mouthing like, what? What?
She removes her fingers just long enough to say, are you sure?
I reach for it and I pinch them again. And then I gesture 1, and I hold my fingers up, 2, and then I did 3 strikes, and then I put my thumb behind me and go, you're out, meaning I'm on my 3rd strike. I'm out. And I think Tally would get it because we've been together for a couple years now.
Tally nods in agreement, and there is some shuffling that happens in this interaction, but not enough that it breaks through what noise is happening upstairs. There's one more call from Sergeant Diggs. Aladdin? He sighs. You hear the footsteps move back and up the stairs, and the door closes. The loud clunk.
I look over to relieve Tally as she starts to like shift and be like, whew. And I pinch her lips harder and I mouth, wait. And I want to sit and wait to see if it's a trick. Because Aladdin trusts no one, and that would be some bullshit she would pull, like, well, okay, I guess they're not there. Thunk, 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 boom, and then just wait for them to come out. Like, she wasn't born yesterday, okay? Mm-hmm. So she waits.
Okay. Aladdin and Tally sitting in this crate waiting beyond the door. You hear the sound of whatever commotion is happening up there.
Do I hear Dace's voice?
Yes, you do. You hear Dace's voice beyond the door after it slams. A call to whoever else is there. The commotion begins to settle down. It's still heated conversation back and forth that you can hear, but it begins to move farther away.
I let go of Tally's lips finally.
Oh, thanks. Oh.
Sorry.
Well, isn't Sergeant Dace like kind of on our side?
I'm on strike. 3, yeah, 2, but, 3, what? I'm on strike 2, and then my 3rd strike, I'm out. I can't remember. I can't keep track, but I do remember he said that it was not weekly, because I asked.
But what?
I think
what,
so.
But what could he want here? We didn't do anything.
Well, it doesn't look like anyone actually knows this place exists, so I actually don't know.
So do we stay in this box?
No, we can get out of the box, but we're not going to leave the cellar.
Okay.
Because there are lots of other boxes. We haven't looked in them yet, and there was nothing but hay in this one.
Okay.
So I want you so carefully so that it doesn't like or swing and whack into something. So carefully.
Roll stealth. Yeah.
Yeah, that dice was baloney garbage. None of these are D20s. Okay, here we go. Lime green. Ooh, it hit the wine glass. It was a 13 plus 3, 16. Oh, baby. Right.
There we go.
That's good.
All right.
Like that. Green. Yeah. The two of you, silent enough, move the crate lid off so you can both climb out. The room is dark. You are able to see around, see shadows and shapes. Nobody else is in the room with you. You hear the sound that you had heard has moved beyond reasonable earshot. Sounds like whoever was up there, including Sergeant Dace, have moved off. We skip ahead to the next day, and it's early morning in Wintersmith. The better majority of the city has gathered in the central square of the noble district. Mayor Nigel Knops is expected to give a speech regarding the recent tax increases and address some of the concerns that the city has put forward. Many of the business owners and citizens are all gathered here. In the crowd, we see Bonwin with several of the hot block denizens. And notably missing is Kevlar. As the time when the mayor was supposed to give the speech kind of comes and goes and everybody's waiting around and getting restless, a group of about five people, followed by the mayor in a procession, come out of the mayoral office and down the large staircase and proceed up to a podium at the base of this staircase. Mayor Nigel Knops is a portly elven man with a large protruding chin and golden blonde hair with not a strand out of place. He has rosy cheeks and pristine white robes with gold weaving all throughout them. He makes some comments quietly to some of his handlers and his entourage, and then proceeds up to the podium where the entire crowd goes silent. He clears his throat.
Hear ye, noble denizens of Wintersmith, ye who gather in the ancient heart of our fair township. As thy devoted mayor, I stand before thee with a spirit both resolute and earnest to address the delicate matter of our recent fiscal decisions.
There's a low rumble throughout the crowd.
I sense the whispers and quizzical glances among thee, questioning the repeated call for additional contributions to our coffers. Allow me to assure thee, dear citizens, that these tax increments have not been levied without careful contemplation and a steadfast commitment to our shared prosperity. In these challenging times, akin to the mythical quests of old, the demands placed upon our humble realm require a collective effort to fortify the bulwarks of our defenses, sustain the vibrancy of our market square, and foster enlightenment within the walls of our esteemed institutions. Verily, the additional coinage is an investment in the very essence of our beloved Wintersmith.
Boo!
Thank you, fine citizens. Yes. Hold your comments till the end, please. Behold the tangible improvements that have graced our streets, the smoother paths that now guide our way, and the subtle enhancements to the infrastructure that uphold our community's vitality. These transformations, my esteemed compatriots, are the fruits of your generous contributions. Yes, while some may question the whereabouts of this gold, let me quell thy concerns by emphasizing the subtlety of these enhancements. The benefits, like a well-brewed potion, may not always reveal themselves overtly, but work their magic beneath the surface to fortify the foundation of our township. These tax increases, though seemingly frequent, are but a testament to our unwavering commitment to the betterment of Wintersmith. Let us stand united in understanding as we navigate these fiscal waters together. The prosperity of our town depends on the collective contributions, and through these shared sacrifices, we carve a path to a brighter future. May the tapestry of our endeavors continue to weave a tale of growth and prosperity, with each coin contributing to the flourishing legacy of Wintersmith. As thy devoted mayor, I am confident that, in time, the subtle alchemy of our investments will yield a realm that future generations shall cherish.
He stands back from the podium for a moment.
Is he expecting applause? It feels he's like he would be expecting applause.
He's hands on the hips and he pauses and waits there. There's a small cricket sound that may or may not play in the background. He turns and looks at his entourage. One smaller in stature woman with short cropped black hair comes up forward and whispers something to him, which can't be heard by the crowd. And he continues to smile big and starts to wave to the crowd and moves off. And some of the reporters up in the front begin hollering questions.
Excuse me, Mayor. Will there be an itemized list of where these taxes
Could
are
you
going?
Explain more about the alchemy. What's that part of it? Is it literal alchemy? Or
was
you
this
mean
just a bunch of buzzwords to make everyone
fortified
confused?
How? What do you mean when you say that?
And the woman comes up to the podium and says, I'm sorry, the mayor has too much to handle today. He won't be taking any questions. We'll see you at the next meeting. All right, everybody have a great day. As the mayor is rushed off back into his offices, we fade out on the confused crowd that is now left to disperse back to their daily routine. There is a beam of morning sun coming through a curtain, and a groaning Kevlarin is seen passed out on his sofa. The light is slowly moving towards his eye, and as it hits it, you are jolted awake after a rousing night of Guy's Night with your good friends, Ben Tripley and Oak.
Boys night.
And as you look around, you're the only one in the room. You're still wearing the same things that you were wearing the night previous. And you kind of collect yourself and realize, as you try and figure out what time it is, exactly where you are, that you've missed the mayor's speech that you were waiting for, which you were hoping would give some semblance as to a lot of the things that you are investigating. As you kind of come to, you remember that you actually had Oak fill out the paperwork the night previous. You go to your bag, and that is missing.
All right. Think back, Kev. What happened last night? Where would the paper be?
Make a constitution check.
Are you still drunk?
I mean, we're gonna find out. It is a 14.
14. You open the bag and the pit of your stomach sinks and you start burning through it and bits and pieces of the night previous start to come back. Inside your bag, you see that there is what appears to be some sawdust. You pause for a moment and you catch a reflection of yourself in the mirror. There's this weird purple stain down the front of your shirt.
I mean, that totally tracks, yeah.
It's jam, isn't it?
Yeah.
It might be.
It's turnt gobos.
You remember that you partied good and hard at the Brood Awakening before going for a walk out on the town because you had things to do, including filling out the paperwork. Before we go too much further, what does Kevlarin's house, apartment, look like?
It's more of an apartment than a house. Pretty Spartan. With the decorating, because, you know, he's relatively new into town. This isn't the first time he's been sent to a different town, so he usually travels pretty light, only takes the essentials with him. Although there is, like, a little snake plant that he's got in one of the windows that seems to be doing okay for a change. Not usually the best green thumb for Kev.
Hey, I just have a question.
Okay.
When the pit of your stomach sinks, is it now in your colon?
Yeah.
Okay. Think so.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Just like geographically.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to go somewhere. It's only down from there. And as these bits and pieces are coming back to you, you hear a groan from the bathroom.
Bench?
Excuse, pardon. Oh, hey, what are you doing here?
Everything, I remember. Well, I live here.
Oh,
for starters.
I don't live here.
No. This is my place. I remember leaving the Brood Awakening. I don't remember what happened after that all too well.
Well, we went to go fill out the paperwork, and you said you would submit it in the morning, and then we went. Where do we go after that? We went and we played with some of the potions.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't like that we did play the potions.
Well, yeah, I mean traditionally with alchemists and potion makers, it's very exact as to what they're doing. So, yeah, chances are that wasn't well received.
No, I don't. But then we came here, right? Like, there's no... You see him pause, and he looks, and... What's that on your neck?
Cav grabs his neck, and...
It hurts.
What does he feel? Something sticky? Something wet?
It's like, it's painful. It's sharp. It's like sandpaper on your neck. You go and you look at the mirror, and there's a tattoo on the neck, and you start pulling the shirt down, and it extends across your entire back.
Okay. What? When did the? What? Why?
Carla and Amy, what does the tattoo look like?
Well,
okay, this is not a good tattoo because it was late at night and you were clearly wasted, and someone. Yeah. So either this is a real sketch shop, or like Bench had a tattoo gun like in the back.
I can't rule it out.
Yeah.
That concerns me.
I feel like it would, you know, when you're drunk, everything is meaningful, right? I feel like you'd be like, listen, this is an important moment for you, Bench. This paperwork is important. And I think you asked someone to tattoo the paperwork onto your back.
That's why you don't have it, because the tattoo artist used it as like a...
You straight up ripped it up and was like, won't be needing
this. Don't
even
need it.
Oh my God. Did Oak do the tattoo?
Did Oak have a secret past?
Bench, when did this happen?
I don't remember, my friend. Did I get a tattoo too? Let me see. I don't see. Oh, hey,
you see him turn and kind of lift his pants a little bit.
I think we got matching tattoos. I have page 3.
Oh God. Does Cav have page 1? And does Oak have page 2?
I mean, we might have a whole set.
Let me see.
Boy's night.
You have page 1. I have page 3.
We need page 2. I wouldn't have torn up page 2 unless someone got it tattooed on them, so I guess we better go find Oak.
I hope it's Oak. I wonder who else we met who could have... It was only 3 pages, right?
I don't know. I think it's the first time I've ever seen those forms.
It's the middle.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for being here. The applause goes to you.
All right. Yep.
Yeah, we would probably do it louder, but it would actually be quite offensive in your ears. So just imagine that was sort of like
Russ,
uproarious as if
Russ
you were
could,
like at Madison Square Garden.
That's what we were trying to convey.
I'm making a note, everybody. I'm going to add in
make
huge stadium noise.
Love it.
And that's for you.
And you're listening to the middle.
I think you're what a rock star.
Thank you all for being here on this lovely episode that we're having. I forgot what I'm doing.
It was there to start.
I know, it was really strong.
Yeah. And you know what?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
He's just thinking so
I know
hard
we celebrated everyone.
People.
But
we celebrated
celebrate
everyone with the rapturous
particular
applause, but like let's really focus in on one person. that supports us on Patreon.
Thank you, Carla. Let's throw it to our Patreon dedication, who this week is Richard McNeely.
Thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Richard.
Thanks so much for being here, Richard. I was taking a look through the old Patreons, and you've been with us since like early 2022, I think. So you've been.
Oh my goodness. Thanks, right. Richard. Imagine the huge crowd that was applauding, still applauding, but still now they're standing up for you.
That's right. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Thanks,
like
Richard.
That.
Thank you so much for being here. Like I said, tomorrow, which is in the time that this is released, February 1st, 2024, we will be having merchandise back on our Patreon.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
that's
we
happening.
Will.
That's happening. So when you join up for Patreon and you've been with us for at least 3 months, you get sent a lovely piece of merch, which is at the $5 tier, a sticker, at the supporting producers tier, a mug, and at the game time tier, a t-shirt. Maybe. It's either a t-shirt or a sweater.
Spoiler alert.
I can't remember.
Oh, well, it's something good.
It's something
good.
Something
good either way. Yep.
So make sure you go check those out. If you have been a patron with us for that long, I'm not sure how the notifications of that work. You might just get sent something. So make sure that you're all up to date on your address and everything. I'm hoping they give you a little notification saying, hey, this is new. You should probably check this out. But we'll figure it out.
Yeah, and you're going to have that feeling of knowing you're getting something in the mail, but you don't know when. And it's going to be on
that
a day when you really needed that.
That's right. I hope
we'll be there for you.
Yeah. Me too.
So I just, we're trying to just thank you for being here. That's what it is.
You know, if they weren't there, we wouldn't be here.
That's right.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the middle for us. Join us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Merch, audio. Nope. Audio is a terrible way to say that.
Yeah,
I mean, there is audio.
There is audio. There
is an audio
right
now.
That's just
as
the
someone
button,
who's not business.
That's just the button I push when I'm saying which post I want to create. Let's try it again. Merch, great bonus content.
I thought you were going to say hearing stuff.
Sound waves are going to be coming at you.
Particles.
Oh, it's really something.
Dumb Dragons Productions for all that great hearing stuff. All right, everybody. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Bye now.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
We at Dungeons & Dragons are big on exploring new restaurants, trying new meals, having just the best time making all of the best food for ourselves, for our loved ones. And I want to share with you a podcast called Fine Dining. It's the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, and it's a podcast documenting the hilarious cross-country search for the perfectly average 5.00 dining experience out of 10. Just right down the middle. I've been chatting with the host, Michael Ornelas, and loving his show. He's hitting every chain you've ever heard of, and many you probably haven't, looking for a restaurant as ordinary as he is. His words, not mine. He's a lovely fellow, and I think you should go check him out. Part one of each episode, it covers the franchise's history that he's looking into, and select Yelp reviews, while part two is Michael and his guests' full review, often resulting in wild stories, screwy character bits, and even genre parody skits like his TGI Fridays the 13th episode or Olive Garden musical. You gotta check it out. In the latest episode, reviewing Friendly's, Michael travels from Los Angeles to New England to try out the East Coast staple. Upcoming episodes include Whataburger, IHOP, and the last remaining cheeseburger in Paradise Restaurant, and the second annual Hooter Bowl as season two continues on. Check out Fine Dining, that's fine with quotations around it, in case you haven't picked that up, anywhere you listen to podcasts or at finediningpodcast.com. Back at Everbane's, and Bonwin, you are setting up for the business association meeting that you are scheduled to hold. So Thane and Neven are there helping you set up. Thane is putting out some chairs and says, so that speech was just bullshit.
Yeah, just nothing, right? Like it was just gathered all of us together to share bad news. And then he like wanted us to clap, I think.
Yeah, that was the vibe I got. That he just was standing there waiting for us to say what a great job he was
doing.
To be like,
congratulations, we love paying more taxes for absolutely no benefit. Go mayor.
Businesses being shut down because of them. Like, isn't it the goal of like leadership to like make sure that those are going towards good things?
You would think. And here's the thing. I don't mind paying taxes. I like roads. I like schools. I like clean water and sanitation. These are important things. But we don't really have those things.
No.
Except for what we do for ourselves. So...
We don't have schools. We don't have anything.
I mean, they have some of that over there.
Yeah.
But can't be subsidizing.
Did you see the gold flecked, sparkle in between the grout on the cobblestone streets that they had?
Yeah, I think that might be, literally the alchemy he was talking about. Thought it was a buzzword. I think they might actually just be, grouting with gold over there.
Good Lord.
I mean, honestly, Thane, if you're going to embezzle money, could you just, steal it and do something cool with it? Like, I'm not condoning it, but...
Yeah.
It seems, more obnoxious than just, buying a yacht, you know?
Neven, who's setting out the snack table with finger sandwiches and different small square desserts, says, there's a lot of things that happen over there, and it's just not all noble people, okay?
Neven, you know we don't ever mean you.
Again, I know.
Love you. You're great. You live over there. I mean, give us some insight. Are things good over there?
Yeah, no, things are really good over there.
Okay. So somebody's benefiting, not just the mayor.
Yeah, no, everybody on that side of the river is benefiting. And they built that new barracks just outside of the noble. And then they've been bringing in more and more military transfers from Kingstown.
Right.
Because they have...
Because of the bulwark of...
Bulwark of whatever. Like, the fortification, it's a crossroads, pirates. Like, they're just spouting everything they can to get more.
Has there been more pirate activity? I know, I had my shipment come in, and the captain did say they'd run into a pirate. Okay, you guys, legitimate or not legitimate? Are they bringing in soldiers because there's actually a threat from pirates? Neven, thoughts, go.
Yeah, the merchants and everybody bringing goods back through town. They're talking about how the pirates are increasing activity, but we used to see it in town here, which I guess is a benefit. We used to see it on the lake, and we used to see it in the docks. They were actually brazen enough that they were coming in, but. It's not here anymore. It sounds like it's just further down.
Okay.
So there's that. But if they're bringing all these soldiers here to protect the town specifically, that doesn't protect anybody going further out.
No. Thane, you heard anything? I know you're kind of drinking buddies with some of the guys. City guard? Anybody? What's going on?
They've been stuck just going door to door. Making sure that people pay up every month. Because there's been 5 increases in the last year,
is insane. Has.
I heard that they brought in an auditor from Kingstown over the last couple of weeks to really just try and...
To make sure, double extra sure that people are paying?
To look into what's going on here. So the rumor going through the guard is that Kingstown's catching on to some of the things that the mayor's doing and is sending someone to kind of report back.
Huh. That's interesting. I find myself confused because I feel like, am I rooting for Kingstown now? That doesn't feel right. But...
Kingstown's never done Kingstown's fair, right? It's presumably.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't never go there. It's just but.
But they certainly haven't been sending down 5 kingly tax increases in the last.
I think what we pay the mayor is supposed to funnel back up, isn't it?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Huh. Wonder what this auditor guy's all about.
Here he's a real dreamboat with a lot of tattoos.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that is your type, so...
Well, you know, it is.
I mean, if you happen to make their acquaintance and want to find out, like...
He's friends with Bench.
No way.
Yeah, no, came in town really quick, made a bunch of friends. So, like, seems like they're a good guy.
Hmm.
Maybe they'll be able to find something and, like, shut it all down. Like, do we even need a mayor?
I mean, not to pave the streets with gold. To maybe, like, build a school, you know? I don't know. We'll see what the rest of the business association has to say. Like, I know I kind of get on my soapbox about educating people and not letting children starve, et cetera, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no, that's...
These seem like pretty basic things we could all kind of get on board with.
I'm pretty sure,
and again,
yeah,
that I'm happy to pay taxes for.
Well.
Those things. Not this other bullshit.
Yeah. Well, I think we're about ready. You got the agenda ready? I got...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's just going to, like...
It's just going to devolve into us screaming at each other. Not at each other, but just screaming about...
Just a general cacophony about, like, taxes, business shutting down. I mean, yeah. We should try and arrange something a little bit more productive, maybe. Let's think on that. We can't just get together once a month and all yell in a room. Doesn't really help anything.
But it feels better.
It does feel better. You're right. That's a really great point, Thane.
We cut to Cav and Bench. You've found that you both have two pages of a three-page document tattooed somewhere on your persons. You are on your way to try and find Oak. Where are you going to try and find Oak?
First place Cav would think to check is the office.
Perfect.
Of course.
Yeah, Natch. Absolutely.
Yeah. We find you two heading back up the staircase towards the mayor office. You're both moving slower than normal. It is a lot of stairs. You are usually out of breath by the time you get to the top of them. But today is exceptionally bad, and the sun is beating down. It's like... To your perception, beating down abnormally strong. Like, there's almost a spotlight down on top of you. Both of you are sweating buckets.
Cav, you leave me behind. I will just wait. I will just wait. Okay.
No, come. We didn't come this far for you to quit now. Come
okay.
on. Just a little bit further.
Okay, that's okay. Here, you hold me, I hold you. We may get together. We're friends forever.
Okay,
we're paperwork
sure.
buddies. I think that's what we said last night. We are buddies who do paperwork for each other and make sure businesses... We're workshopping the tagline of it.
Yeah, I remember something about that, but...
We're the paperwork pals. All for one and a number two pencil.
Okay, we're here. Well, I'm just gonna take a drink from the fountain. You think that's okay?
Sure, I'll head in the office. I'll see if Oak's here.
I'll meet you inside.
All right, great. Can I open the door?
Water fountain?
Yeah.
The big gold fountain?
Or decorative fountain.
Yeah, I would assume the giant gold one out front.
Yeah, no, it's a big
that's
decorative
gross.
Gold water
like
fountain. Getting a drink of water.
And that's at the top of the stairs?
Yeah.
Wow, what a fancy ass mayor.
The opulence.
Yeah, no, there's a fountain up there. There's a larger fountain down in the square.
And a big statue.
And the big statue.
Okay.
Both locales and one grand one in the front entryway. Where's the money going? Who knows?
Look, there's a thriving artisan district in this town, and now we know why.
That's right. He's just putting that back into the community. You give people money, they will spend it.
He's outsourcing it.
Really? Just, it moves the
economy
along.
Like, there's no goldsmith in the hot block. I don't know where all this gold's coming from.
It's a gift.
You triumphantly or you think triumphantly, burst open the doors. Everybody else sees, like, stop and turn. Slightly portly half-elf who's sweating buckets, just like
catching his breath,
grabbing onto the doors, standing for a moment as the sun beats down behind him. And they all turn and slowly look away as they go back about their day and quickly leave the area that you're in. You make your way back and through slowly. You hear a bench you turn and look through the open doors and you see Bench has seated himself down and he's just waiting there. He's not coming after you. And you make your way back to your office where Oak would normally be on a traditional workday. You open the door and it's an empty, quiet office. Nobody's there.
Huh. All right. What the hell would Oak be? I'm going to look around and see if I can find anything. Maybe there's a clue. Maybe he left me a note.
Maybe you guys were there last night. I know I like to go to my place of work when I'm smashed.
You look on the desk and majority of things were as you left them the day before when you were punched out at exactly 5 o'clock after having finished your allocated paperwork in a neat stack that has yet to be filed because it appears that Oak has not come in for the day.
I mean, that would be the number one clue that he has not come in.
Yeah, the unusual thing is that the paperwork is still there, which you would expect to be gone. You look around and you do see his satchel, which he doesn't normally keep on him all the time, but it is hanging up on the wall and it is like flipped open.
Does he happen to have like anything that might indicate his like home address? Maybe it's written on the tag for
sure. Yeah.
For the bag.
Yeah. If found, return to.
Yeah. And it looks like it's hand stitched into the inside of this in a cursive that looks very motherly. It does have his address.
I grab the satchel and head back out the door, and I see Bench. I say, Bench, you know where 32 Twiglet Street is?
32 Twiglet. Yeah, it's over in the Noble District. Where are we?
That's where we are.
Oh, yeah.
He's sitting on a gold fountain.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Then we don't have to walk very far. That's perfect.
Not too far. But yeah, you lead the way. I don't really know this part of town all that well.
Okay. Here we go. Is something important at this address?
Well, that's Oak's address. So
oh, great.
We'll see if he has the other sheet of paperwork tattooed on.
Cool. Let's go.
I love, instead of checking the office in this giant building,
asking a single person. Oak, is he just in the coffee room?
Oak would have been there.
He would have. And the paperwork would have been filed.
Exactly. Like, something is amiss here.
He's probably in the bathroom barfing. He doesn't look like he's got a great constitution.
I would assume it might be the second time he's ever been out for a bender like that. Yeah. So.
As you reach to help Bench up, because he needs it, you hear inside the satchel, like the clinking of glass vials.
You'd said the satchel was flipped open.
It was flipped open, yeah.
Earlier. Well, I haven't adjusted that. Okay. So I take a little peek inside.
And there are two vials. You can kind of look in and see. One is filled with a clear blue liquid that has like an iridescence to it. The other, the stopper, is off and it is empty.
They are not meticulously labeled.
They don't appear to be labeled, no.
What alchemist is giving out
no kidding
vials without labels? I'm sure that that's a fine.
Oh, and, yeah, I mean, very much so.
And
in this town,
yeah,
for sure.
What Oak is buying vials without labels on it? This is all very suspicious.
Maybe Oak is a little more badass than we gave him credit for.
Maybe.
You look in and you see these vials, and you pull each of them out just to make sure that there's no label on them. There's no label to say that what they are, but you do see an insignia on top, which how familiar would Cav be with the local vendors? Like, clearly you've only been here like a few weeks. You know some of the restaurants. Would you have gone shopping at some of the regular alchemists and potion makers and that sort of thing?
I mean, he's probably been to one or two.
Okay.
And like the farmer's market, but maybe not to the extent of like someone who's been in town longer and has like, oh yeah, that's the potion shop I like to go
right.
to.
You look at them and the insignia looks familiar, but you're unable to actually roll. Let's play the fucking game.
Yeah, let's do that.
Roll something.
A dice.
Okay.
And
a joint.
Got my ice cream die right here.
History.
We should make one up being like, memory check.
Memory check.
Do you remember that shit? But we're playing our own game, so it could be a memory check.
It's a memory check.
Well, I mean, Cav isn't the sharpest tool in the drawer, so that's an 8.
It looks familiar, but you can't quite place it.
Okay.
Do you ask Bench or do you put them back?
No, I just put them back.
Okay. You slide them back in, you help Bench up, and he's like one heavy arm over your shoulder, and the two of you make your way down, trying to find 32 Twiglet Street. Back in the storage room, Tally comes over to you and says, I finished counting them. There are 18 large crates and 14 small crates. One medium crate.
Wow, Tally, I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Well done. And you counted right? I think you counted right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. I counted right. Like I did the numbers. I ran out of fingers, but I still had toes.
So that's why you had your shoes off?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're thorough, and I like that.
Well, and none of the numbers went above the number of fingers and toes, so I think I got them all.
Okay. I've propped open all the lids that I could lift with my hands, but we're going to need a crowbar. We can get one from behind the wheelwright to lift the other ones.
Okay. That sounds like a great idea.
Should we take a peek?
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, I think so.
As you go to push the first one open, make a perception check. Yes.
What am I perceiving?
I will tell you, depending on how well you do.
Fuck, is that how this game is played?
A 22?
Oh, damn it. Shit. I put my dice back in here thinking like, well, I'm done.
Yeah, we're almost
I did
done.
It. Okay, I found that dice. That worked again. All right. Hit the wine glass in the exact same place. Oh, shit.
That's it seems
like
it.
And number 13. That's the same thing as last. Okay, I've got a strategy now, you guys. And this is perception, right?
Yeah.
Big old nothing.
Okay.
13.
As you creak this lid open, inside you see some fabrics, but you get a draft that flows in from like two or three crates down that just kind of hits like the ankle of your feet. Fuck you, Russ.
I was just nodding along. I was like, honey, ankle of your feet. I get it. Go on.
The ankle of your feet.
That brushes against your ankle. You look and you see that the door to the storage room is still closed. And you hadn't previously found any egress from here.
Tally.
Yeah? What?
I feel something.
What do you feel?
Do I feel something like wind on my legs?
Oh. What does that mean?
I think... Okay, wait. I rummage through my bucket and I pull out a candle and a match. And I light the match and I light the candle. And then I hold it. I move it around slowly. Anytime Tally goes to say something, I'm like, shh.
What?
I look to see if the flame is being blown, and I follow it until I come to where I think air is coming out. Air, I think air is coming out of here. It could be the tunnels. I think so.
Okay, should we move it? Do we need help? Is it too heavy? Like that's very exciting, and I don't know why it's exciting, but it's very exciting, and I'm excited for us.
Your excitement is making me excited. Let's try to lift it or shove it or push it ourselves. And if we can't, we can get the guys down here.
Okay. Ready? Three, two, one.
Oh, we got to be on different sides.
Yeah.
Or no, on the same
okay,
side.
We're pushing the
okay,
same. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This side. This side. Push. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
And the crate begins to move. And behind this crate, which was like wedged right up against the wall, a passageway begins to appear before you.
I was right.
Dungeons and Dragons, Season 3, Episode 4. This episode starred Amy Moore as Aladdin, Carla Maxted as Bonwyn Everbane, Tom Laird as Kevlarin Goldweave, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Dialogue editing by Carla Maxted and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. Our amazing cover art and character designs are by Matt Garbutt. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Kat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Craig Zeiss, Perry Mady, Ongeron Kiersen, Old School Gamer D, L.A. Branton, Nathaniel Teeter, Luna, and Aaron. Join us today at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, and hey, we've got merch that's coming starting February 1st, 2024. You can sign up today and get a little advanced head start on that. When you sign up for 3 months with us, we'll send you a sticker or a mug or a shirt as a thank you for being part of the community. Oh yeah, there's a pretty awesome community that you'd be part of too. Before, after, during that, whenever, did you know we have a newsletter? There's a link tree down in the description where you can sign up for our newsletter, get informed at the beginning of the month of what's coming up, what's coming your way. We've got a lot of things that we're very excited about and we want you to know. So sign up for that, join us on Discord, come join us on Patreon. Those are the three main ones. If you're doing any or all of those, we appreciate you. So thank you for listening. That's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed the fun. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Fuck it, let's play. Which was worked into the theme thing. So we.
Yeah, but you still need to say it for
fuck
us.
Fuck it, let's play. Many of the business owners and citizens are all gathered here. And in the crowd, we see
a crying dog.
A crying dog.
Everyone's upset about those tax increases, even the dogs.
Yeah. We're all feeling it.
Well, I mean, there is talk among a lot of the merchants. No, not merchants. Transporters, not Jason Statham. What's the word I'm looking for?
The Meg.
There's a giant shark and the pirates need to save the day.
Is it Crank? Are you thinking of Crank?
Crank.
Probably thinking of Crank. No,
people who go out and bring things back. Importers.
This is just Amy. Hold on. This isn't.
The hourglass.
Fuck off with your hourglass. You shove that hourglass up your ass.
The tool chest.
I'm thinking the mechanic, but it's not a mechanic. It is the the person who fixes the wagons.
No, the carriage person.
The wagon.
I was just thinking wagoneer. I'm like, no, I'm not Sully. I can't just make up words.
The farrier?
The carpenter?
Farrier, yeah.
A carpenter would work too.
Carpenter. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll just say repair shop.
Sure. There you go. Love it.
Wheelwright.
Oh, wheelwright. That's good.
Oh, let's do that.
Makes
I like
the carriage
that.
Wheels. Yeah.
Builds
so
and repairs
specific.
Wagon wheels, carriages, etc.
Who knew? Learn something new every day. Welcome to Dungeons and Dragons.
We learn things.
Dungeons and Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish. From the team behind the award-winning best fiction horror podcast, Nightlight. A new audio drama that brings the southern folklore of True Blood and the cosmic horror of Lovecraft Country to your ears.
You don't hear that, do you?
Afflicted is a tale of hoodoo, a demonic book bound in human flesh, and natural disasters that are anything but natural.
Which grave did you get the dirt from? Which grave?
Afflicted, a horror thriller audio drama, coming this Halloween thanks to our Indiegogo supporters. Subscribe now to get notified the moment the first episode drops.
It's happening.